Oh, the end of the year. Okay.
So she's got some time, but we know that the fall will go quickly, especially given that it is an election year. We've got an election in November that we want to make sure that people are coming out for. But we know that that's where a lot of attention is going to go. So this, it's critical that she takes action as soon as possible to make sure that we lock these wins in for New Yorkers.
Speaking of the election, I noticed on your website you've got a webinar coming up on the Environmental Bond Act that is apparently going to be on the November ballot. What can you tell us about that?
So this Bond Act would be a major reinvestment in key environmental aspects. It's focused on building green jobs, protecting our water, addressing lead pipes, helping to invest in the new economy that we need to really move forward in both a healthy way for our bodies and the planet, but also to make sure that we are continuing to be able to meet our own needs and to have a robust economic system. So I think it's a real win-win for New Yorkers, and we're excited to be bringing on some guest speakers, our colleagues who have been working on this issue. And it's been a long process to get this Bond Act before voters, and so it's really critical that folks look at that on the ballot when they get there this year.
We're running out of time, but I want to make it clear. Sometimes these ballot initiatives can be really trickily worded. If people want the thing that you've been describing, do they vote yes or no?
They vote yes.
Okay, that's very straightforward. Isn't that clear cut? You're doing so much more that we could be talking about. But we're running out of time. What else would you like to add in our last minute?
So I would just say that we continue to do a whole wide range of things. We're working on lead poisoning prevention to actually finally end the scourge of lead poisoning in our state, which is a huge problem. We will be celebrating all of our victories and gathering together in person for the first time in a couple of years on September 28th. And if folks want to learn about any of the work that we're doing, please feel free to reach out to us. You can contact us through our website. You can contact us by phone. We're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. So lots of ways to get in touch. And we hope folks will be engaged.
Thank you, Bobbi Wilding, Executive Director of Clean and Healthy New York, whose website is chny.org, cleanandhealthynewyork.org. Thanks.
Thanks so much.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
Monday, September 5th. Tune in all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM WGXC, including at 9 a.m. on the WGXC Morning Show. Tune in Absolute Value of Noise and Anna Fritz, two artists recently working at Wave Farm and installing a new installation called Solar Radio that you can listen to at wgxc.org/listen. At 10 a.m., it's time for the Afrosonic Taxi to take off this week with tracks from So George, Macy Gray, and La Gabaja, among others. At noon, after the local news on the Deep 3 show, hear works from Kristen Nordeval, Armin Jawadi, and Bobby Previtt, among others. Scanner Julia Reedy and Andre Rikishi have new music at 2 p.m. on the Vital Weekly show. And then at 8 p.m., tune in a brand new show on WGXC from Winslow from Athens. The show is called Upon the Cypress Bough and showcase for music from Western Asia, North Africa, and Central Asia. That's from 8 to 10 p.m., debuting for the first time Monday, September 5th on 90.7 FM WGXC.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees.
Oh, Helios. Oh, yellow star. Oh, glowing sphere. Gleaming beacon. Brilliant flaming orb. Giver of light, warmth, and radio. Yes, it's true. WGXC's brand new solar panels are installed and ready for deployment, where they'll be calling on the free and plentiful rays of the sun to bring our station close to full sustainability.
To make WGXC a solar-powered radio station.
We are going solar. WGXC will be a solar-powered community radio station, getting our power from the sun rather than foreign despots.
WGXC loves the sun, and we're going to love it even more now that WGXC is going solar.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Georgia, and I'm from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
Yep. And that's what we're going to do today. We also want to wish everyone a happy back to school time. Happy end of summer. Doesn't feel like the end of summer. Still,
it does not.
Weather-wise.
Mm-mm.
But you just started school, right?
Yes, I just started school Monday. It's going great.
Cool. I'm not going back to school. But maybe I'll come visit a school sometime. I like doing school visits. Don't
visit mine.
Enough.
Visit mine. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, It feels like the shift in time. Everything's changing. I keep seeing back to school pictures, and we're not seeing kids in the library during the daytime as much, except for the littles, you know, and homeschool kids. But such a funny little shift.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious. One thing I love on this radio show is getting to hear what people are reading in school. I always find that very interesting. And I just started listening to the book that Georgia had suggested a while back called Ban This Book by Alan Gratz.
Yes.
Which is
How is it so far?
It's really good so far. And it's about a young girl who goes to the library and reads like every day. Like that's her place. That's her hobby. That's what she does. She just goes there and reads every day. She actually tells her parents that she does other stuff, but she really just goes to the library to read. And her favorite book of all times is From the Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler, which is a great book. And one day she goes to the library and the book's not there. And she checks out the book a lot. So sometimes the book's not there because she has it checked out. But the librarian does make her return it occasionally so that other people can have a chance to read it. So she thinks maybe it's just checked out. But the librarian lets her know that it's been pulled from the shelves because somebody complained about the content in the book. And she goes to a school board meeting but is a little too scared to speak up. And the school board decides to ban this whole list of books that some parent has decided are not appropriate and that teach their kids bad things, like lying and cheating and running away and S-E-X. And I love that the girl is like, she spelled it out like we don't know how to spell, or like that we don't understand what the word is. And she's really upset, and so her dad is really nice and brings her to the bookstore and buys her From the Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler, so she has her own copy. Doesn't have to worry about it not being at the library. But then she thinks about how nobody else will have access to the book, and there's this whole other list of books that nobody will have access to. And so she decides to start collecting them and loading them out.
Pretty far in.
Am I?
Yeah.
Oh, it didn't feel that long. Far in. I'm listening to the audiobook.
Because it's not that long of a book, but you're like halfway through.
No, I'm not that far. But yeah, it's really good so far, and it reminds me of school settings and school reading lists and the issues going on across the country that have always been going on but are much in the news recently about different attempts at banning books across the country. So feels very timely, even though it's an older book. And we just had Fatia join us. Welcome, Fatia.
Hi.
Hi. Do you want to introduce yourself to our listeners?
My name is Fatia, and I'm 8 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
We're glad you could be here today. We're just talking about back-to-school time and a book that I've been reading that takes place in a school setting. Have you started back at school yet, Fatia? Or is that next week? It's next week,
it's
right?
I think it's going to be... Yeah, it's going to be next week. It's going to be, like... I think it's going to be Tuesday or Thursday or Wednesday, because I thought it was on Monday, but we'll see on Monday.
Oh, yeah, because Monday's Labor Day. Well, I hope you have as much fun. I know you've been really excited about this new school year and getting to share a school with your brother. So I hope it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm, like, really excited because with my little brother, I'm going to, like, my little brother's going to sit next to me at the bus. We're going to be at the same bus. I'm going to go to his bus. And his bus is going to be long like mine. But, yeah, it's going to be pretty.
Is he as excited as you?
I feel like I don't really know if he's excited as me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He's trying to not show that he's excited as me.
He's playing it cool.
Yeah.
Well, while we have you on the mic, do you have something that you wanted to share today?
I was thinking of a book I wanted to, like, show on, like, a game, but it was, I thought it was, like, it was going to make a lot of sound, and if I put it really low sound, I wouldn't be able to hear you or, like, other things beyond the game.
Yeah. And we might not be able to play the sounds on the radio because it might be copyrighted.
It's going to be super loud, and I don't want that to happen.
Can you just tell us about it? So yeah, it's a story in a game?
Yeah, I'm going to check back on the game. And
okay, so you're going to check on it. We can hear from Georgia while you're checking on the game.
So I'm sharing a book that I recently read. I had a sleepover with my neighbor about a week ago, and we went to the library because we are both really into books. So we got mani-pedis and then went to the library. So I got 4 graphic novels and she got 4. Well, technically I got them all and then we split them in half. Well, anyways, so I'm going to share one of them that I read. It's called Anne of West Philly, and it is a modern adaptation of Anne of Green Gables, which is so good. And so Anne of West Philly is about Anne, who's been in foster care her entire life. And so she gets fostered by this new family that live in West Philadelphia. And the girl doesn't really like her at first, but she grows to love her. And so they grow to love Anne, and it's just a great book. And Anne is in 8th grade, and she's still discovering herself, and she has a very big personality, and she says what's on her mind, and she's very awesome. So now I am going to read the description. Marilla and Matthew Cuthbert decide to foster a teenage girl for the first time. Their lives are changed forever. Their foster daughter, Anne Shirley, is in search of an exciting life, and she has decided that West Philly is where she's going to find it. Armed with a big personality and unstoppable creativity, Anne takes her new home by storm as she joins the robotics club, makes new friends in Diana Barry and Gilbert Blythe, experiences first love, and turns the ordinary into the extraordinary. But as Anne starts to get comfortable, she discovers the one thing she wasn't looking for, a family. That was Anne of West Philly by Ivy Noel Weirwire.
And you said that's a graphic novel?
Yes, it's a middle grade graphic novel.
That's awesome. I've never read Anne of Green Gables. I have a copy at home and it's on my to read list, but
I haven't read either, but I
loved the series.
Yeah, I think I saw the movie and I might have started the book when I was like 6 or 7 or something. But I hear ravings about that book. Everyone loves that book.
I'm curious how similar. I assume the miniseries that I saw growing up is pretty similar to the book in terms of plot arc. I don't think they did a huge adaptation in terms of changing things that much. I'm curious if that is the case. But I'm also curious how much the graphic novel is similar or different from that because of the different time period and setting. They would have had to change some things clearly. They're not on Prince Edward Island in Canada. They're in the olden days. They're in West Philadelphia, modern times. So, curious.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that one out.
Imagine if they didn't change anything.
They're all wearing, like, petticoats in West Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I mean, they did at one point in time.
True. But that's very true.
Not so much anymore. No. Unless they're historical reenactors.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I have some comics to talk about, too.
Ooh.
So one I read a long time ago, and it's coming out next week.
What's it called?
It's a graphic novel. I would say I think it's appropriate for middle grade, but it's probably geared more towards teens or adults just because of the age of the character. Although this is a graphic memoir for teens, so they think it's for teens. It's a graphic novel memoir by Alex Groudens called Improve, How I Discovered Improv and Conquered Social Anxiety. And on the cover, Improve, there's like the words, you know, it's spelled out, and then the E is sort of falling off, so you can see Improv a little bit more clearly on the cover.
That's awesome.
And it's about Alex Groudens' experiences in life with anxiety. And to deal with her anxiety, she decided to sign up for improv classes for whatever reason. And so it's sort of a mix of a memoir about dealing with social anxiety, but also looking at improv. And so you get to see the different sort of exercises that they do. I'm not sure if that's what they're called, but the different things that they do in improv and sort of how their relationships through different groups shift through time. So I thought it was really fun. I've never done improv. I was never much of a theater kid. I thought I wanted to be a theater kid, and then I did a few plays and was like, nah, not for me. But it seems like fun improv games and activities. And then a book I read more recently, just last week, is Growing Pangs by Catherine Ormsby and Molly Brooks.
You've
read that too?
I read that this week. That's one of the books that I got from the library. Almost shared that. I'm glad I didn't share that.
Well, you can now, too. We can talk about it.
It was so good.
Yeah, so it also deals with somebody who has anxiety and deals with anxiety on a daily basis.
And OCD.
And OCD. The main character, Katie, has these sort of, it's almost like a voice in her head or telling her, although she visualized it as a bee buzzing around her, telling her that she needs to do things or else something bad might happen. So like tap your leg 10 times and everything will be okay. But so it talks about her experience. And this one, it's not a memoir, but it is based on the author's experience, if I'm remembering correctly. Am I confusing my books? I think it was. Yeah. And I also thought it was interesting because the main character is homeschooled, and I feel like I don't see that very often in books that I read. And so it sort of shows that experience, too, of she has, like, a co-op that she goes to, like, take classes or do some of her learning. And so it also deals with her best friend as they're sort of having some friction and drifting apart.
I like how in this book the best friends don't get back together. Because in a lot of books, they, like, make up and get back together and they're best friends. But I like how in this one they just go their separate ways.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That does happen sometimes. Yeah. So I think these two books were very different, but I thought it was interesting that they both dealt with anxiety and in very different ways. And the characters are very different ages, too, because one of them is like a maybe like an older teen into her 20s throughout the book, or improve, and for Growing Pains, she's in middle school.
For some reason, I remember her saying she's 12, but I'm probably wrong.
She might be.
I think she's
in sixth grade.
Oh, never mind.
I think there's part of it's in the summer and part of it's in the school year. So,
I sometimes associate numbers with things. Like, I see people and I think of their personality as like a number. I don't know. You are.
What's my number?
I'd say you're either a 3 or 8.
Oh, interesting.
Probably an 8.
Cool. I like 8.
I'd see myself as a 4. I don't know why.
What about Fatia?
I'd say 5 for Fatia.
I'm 6.
You think a 6 for yourself?
I think 5 or 6 for Fatia.
Fascinating. I don't think of numbers and people, so I don't know.
I do. But I think cool. of numbers, people, and numbers and things.
Huh.
I don't know why. It's just a weird thing I do.
Well, speaking of number five, there's the fifth book in the Click graphic novel series has just come out. Crunch by Kayla Miller, which is a series that I know Georgia really loves. And
so
I'm pretty sure that Kayla Miller is coming to the Hudson Children's Book Festival this year because it's back on this coming May. I mean, it's still a ways away, but it's like half a year away.
Yes.
Oh, more than half a year.
Also, by the way,
we'll get there.
So it's Click, Camp, Act, Best Friends.
There's one more.
And then there's a new one.
Isn't Best Friends a different series that's like a spinoff?
Right, right, it
so
is.
So it's Click, Camp, Act, Clash, and Crunch.
Clash, right. And then what's the new one?
Crunch.
Crunch! Is it about food?
It's about crunch time.
Oh.
It says, Olive is balancing the too many things she wants to do with the too few hours in the day to do them. When everything adds up, suddenly it's crunch time.
You know what? I feel like Kayla Miller, she's amazing, but I feel like she's eventually going to run out of C words.
Well, she had Act, which I guess has a K sound in it, but it's not the first sound.
True.
She's still got Kaboom.
And
Clang. What about Clang?
Clang. Class.
Catch.
Caught. Con. Con. That one could be good.
Keep going, Kayla. We believe in you.
Woo! I will see you at the Children's Book Festival. If you're listening, let me hear you say woo!
Yeah, save the date. First Saturday in May.
Whee!
So exciting. I can't wait.
I met the illustrator of the Beverly Cleary books there, and I got stickers from her that she drew and made.
Very cool. Well, before we run out of time, I want to get back to Fatia and see if there was something that you wanted to share.
Yeah. It's called Lily the Wild Cat. When Lily's mother called her and died into the good kitchen and washed up, Lily said, no, I will not wash up. I don't like the water. I'm a wild cat. She ran outside and rolled down a grassy hill, laughed all the way. When she got to the bottom of the hill, she saw a squirrel. The squirrel ran up a tree. Lily thought, how fun, I'm going to climb up that tree too. Yeah. She stuck out her claws and climbed up the tree as high as she could be. By the time she got there to the highest branch, she was covered in leaves and twigs. She sprawled out on a branch with a twig out on her fur and scratched her back. Ah, that's nice. Being a wild cat is fun. After relaxing on her branch, Lily heard her stomach growl. Wild cats hunt for food. I'll catch a mouse. She started to climb down the tree. She climbed and she stumbled and fell to the ground. Ouch! Lily was all right, but she was a bit scratched up and even hungrier. Lily crept to the side of the house and kept her eye on the bush. Next to the kitchen window, she spotted a little mouse holding a piece of cheese. Lily had never hunted before. And when she moved closer to the mouse, she made a bit too much noise. Luckily, the mouse didn't seem to have heard. She followed after the mouse, scrambled from the house and up the stairs to the front door slowly and carefully. She got close until she could almost grab him. The mouse was very close to the edge of the step. Lily jumped with a mighty leap, but the mouse moved out of the way and Lily flew over the edge and landed in a mud puddle. Lily started to cry and wail. I don't want to be a wild cat anymore. She went home and took a nice warm bubble bath. When she was clean, her mother gave her a bowl of delicious beef stew. The end.
That was awesome.